Good morning. Today's daf. Today's daf is Memches. We're going to do Mem Zayin today. We're going to be a daf behind, but we'll catch up. Tomorrow's daf, Memches is a shorter daf. We'll may be able to catch up some ground. Daf Mem Zayin, we started yesterday. Mem Zayin started with such an interesting machlokas. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Simple question. What if the person was a guy and he had children and then he converts? So are those children, does those children count for the mitzvah for Ruvu? So Machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. I'm sorry, let me just back up one more step before that. Let's say he had children. Let's back up one more Machlokes before that. It's the same Machlokes, but different application. He had children when he was a guy, and then he converts, and then he has children as a Jew. So that first child that he has is a Jew. Is that a Bechol and Achla? So is he a firstborn son? Is he going to get the double portion? So Machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says no, he's not, because he already has children. And Reish Lakish says, yeah, it's his firstborn son. I had children before; those aren't they don't count. Now, what's the svar behind that? So the Gemara is going to tell us the svar behind that is Gershon is Gar Kakan Shenola Dami. It's the principle that we have time and again that when a person converts, so he becomes a born again, right? I know I don't sound Jewish when I say that, but it's very Jewish, right? The born again concept is that a person who converts is now a totally new entity. It's like a kanchanola dummy. It's like a total new entity. So, and it's funny because Rav Yochanan agrees with that principle. There's no disagreement over there with that basic principle. And it has a lot of halachic ramifications. But Rav Yochanan does not like to use it in this particular scenario. And the reason why, as the Gemara explains, this is not me. This is all the Gemara. The reason why is because over here, the criteria for Bechol and Achla is a simple criteria of Reishi So No. In other words, your first issue. So this child over here, granted that he's a born again, granted he's a totally new entity, but it's not his first issue. His first issue already happened as a guy. So he's not a bechor, so it's not his bechor, it's not his firstborn, it's not his reish yisrael. No, so Rav Yochanan says, so he's not a firstborn. Okay, good. Similar question. Now, same underpinning machlokas, what if a person converts, before converting he had children, and then he converts? So, did he fulfill the mitzvah per revu? So, yes or no? So, the answer is, again, machlokas, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says he fulfilled the mitzvah per revu. Why? Because the whole purpose of per revu is to populate the world. Did he populate the world? The answer is yes, he did. Okay. Granted, he's a born again, but he populated the world. That's the whole idea behind per revu. So, therefore, he fulfilled the mitzvah. And according to Reish Lakish, he did not fulfill the mitzvah of per revu because Gershon is Gaia Kakanshin Oladam because he's a born again. He's a totally new entity. And so I quoted the Rambam yesterday. It's such an interesting Rambam. That's where I ended off yesterday. I quoted the Rambam on both fronts. We follow like Rav Yochanan, meaning on the Bechol Anachla issue and on the Mitzvah of Pur Ruvu, we pass like Rav Yochanan. So again, it's not a rejection of the idea of Gershon is Gaia Kakanshin Oladam. It's not a rejection of that principle. It just, in these two examples, we don't follow that principle. I quoted the Rambam yesterday. The Rambam has an interesting psak. He goes like Rav Yochanan. But the Rambam says that in order for him to fulfill the mitzvah per revu, so the kids have to convert as well. So, I don't know. And I did a little research on that Rambam. A lot of Rishonim agree with the Rambam. A number of Rishonim don't agree with the Rambam. But it's kind of, in other words, you ask me for a svar or some explanation of the Rambam. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't have a good explanation of the Rambam, why the kids need to convert. I mean, the Gemara says it's all predicated on the Lo Tobara L'Shevet Yitzara. It's all predicated on the issue that he's populated the world, whether the kids are Jewish, whether the kids are not Jewish, but he did. He inhabited the world. So why the kids necessarily have to convert for him to fulfill the mitzvah, I don't understand. I further don't understand when you consider the fact that when the kids convert, that makes them more halachically disconnected from the father. I don't know if you follow me on that point, but it's true. In other words, the kids converting also become born again. So they also become Gershon is Gaia Kakan Hanola Dami. So they're right. They're biologically still connected, but halachically more disconnected. So I don't understand why, according to the Rambam, the kids need a conversion. You're going to have to say something. Thank you very much. You're going to have to say something along the lines of that. You know what? I don't have a... I'll tell you what, better I have something either formulated or I just don't say it at all. I don't know. It's an interesting Rambam. I shared it yesterday. I'm just repeating it again today. I don't have a good pshat.
If we have a
No.
They're doing the act, but they're not
the... I understand all that.
So that's what the Rambam maybe said.
Okay. Look, you got to say something in defense of the Rambam. I'm with you. Just without the Rambam, I wouldn't have said it, but, you know, once the Rambam now said it, it demands some sort of explanation. Okay. The Gemara yesterday, we're on the top of Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, so I just reviewed the two Machloksim, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and the Gemara pointed out that both of them are necessary, because had I only had the Machlokis in one area, I would have thought Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish would have capitulated to each other on the other issue. We went through the Trichusi yesterday. Tanan. We are about 15 lines down from the top of the page on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. First words in the line are L'Rabbi Shimon Lakish Tzricha. Tanan, the Gemara now is going to quote the Mishnah. Misha lo yabanim v'nasi isha shekvar yalda. Okay, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah deals with various scenarios. Number one, the Mishnah says, a person has already children, and then he marries a woman that never had a child. Other way around. Okay, he didn't have any children, sorry. He didn't have any children, and he married a woman who already had children. Okay? Or, Oda Shivcha v'nishtachra. She was a Shivcha, and then she becomes emancipated. Remember, we discuss this all the time. A Shivcha who goes through emancipation is basically a convert. In other words, her emancipation is basically the next step up in terms of her conversion. It's an interesting form of conversion. It's not exactly, she didn't choose this way of this direction of life, but okay, that's what happens. And Ovedes Kochavim is Gaira. And the last case of the Mishnah, these are all cases reviewed from the Mishnah. We saw all this in the Mishnah back in Daf Mem Vav and Aleph. The next case of the Mishnah is that she was a non-Jew and she converted. Okay, Mishibala Yisrael Yalda. And then after converting, she gives birth. Avlada b'chol anachla v'ein b'chol akoin. So, her child is going to be a b'chol anachla, but not a b'chol akoin. Okay, Yalda Miman. That's all the Mishnah. So far, so good. Why are we bringing this up? So, as you'll see, as we progress now through this Mishnah, we're going to try to get a good understanding of this Mishnah. Yalda Miman. Who's the father? So Elam and Yisrael, so Shelo Hayulo Banim. What do you want to suggest? That she married a guy who never had children before. So my ear yet a Giyaris Vishivcha, Filabas Yisrael Nami. So then there's nothing new to be learned from that scenario. Because even if that guy married a regular, full fledged Jewish woman, so the first child is gonna be Bechol Nachala. So there's nothing to gain from that scenario. The Mishnah is clearly not discussing that scenario. There'd be nothing new to learn. So, must be that the case of the Mishnah is where she married a convert. Meaning, let's imagine that the husband and wife were both not Jewish. Let's imagine that they had children already, and they decided, you know what? Okay, this Judaism thing, we're on board. And they both convert. And so now, you understand why the Gemara is painting itself into this corner. Because to suggest it's just a regular Jew, that's easy. We want the Mishnah to tell us something new. So here's a new case. The husband and wife are both converts. Both of them have children. The Ketani Bechol Anachala. And what's the Mishnah telling us? That next child that comes out is the first child. Now, biologically the first child? No. Halachically, their first child? Sure. Because both went through a conversion. Both are now born again. And so therefore, the first child that comes out is actually B'chol HaNachala. If that's correct, so that would be a good proof for Reish Lakish. That would be a Kasha and Rav Yochanan. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, look, that's nice. It would have been a good pshat in the Mishnah. But that's not the only way to explain the Mishnah. La'olam mi Yisrael shelo hayu lo banim. Look. I'll tell you what, the case in the Mishnah is very simple. This convert, this converted woman, married a guy, and the guy never had children before. And what was the problem with that pshat? That's easy. That's too easy. I mean, what right, that's obviously the next child is the B'chol HaNachla. The Eina B'chol HaKohen, it's the Rechlei, and why does the Mishnah need to go over that case? Nothing to do with B'chol HaNachla. I know what the halach is over there. I know this child is his firstborn. It's his firstborn. What I need that case for is B'chol HaKohen. Because Fuke Medrav Yossi, excuse me. Lafukim the Rav Yosef Galili Damar b'chol anachlo kohen, because Rav Yosef Galili says that that child that comes out is not only a b'chol anachla, it's a b'chol kohen. Right? Do you remember that in the Mishnah, Rav Yosef Galili? Even though this woman had children before, but Rav Yosef Galili says that as a convert, she's a born again. She's totally a new woman. Petarechem b'Yisrael. This is her first child as a Jew. This is her first petarechem as a Jew. This is her first born vis-a-vis Nachla and vis-a-vis Kahuna. Shenemar petarechem b'Yisrael. Ad sheyiftu rechem b'Yisrael kamash malan delal. So the Mishnah has to make a point that there is people who disagree with Rav Yosef Galili. The Tanna Kamma disagrees with Rav Yosef Galili. And the Tanna Kamma holds that even though this woman converted, and you want to make an argument like Rav Yosef Galili, that this is her first child as a Jew, no, Tanna Kamma disagrees. Petar Rechem means physically the first breach of her Rechem. She already had children before, her Rechem was already breached, done. Meaning this child is not a Bechol HaKohen. Good. In other words, it'll give another shot. The Torah here doesn't halachically mean, again, if you want to argue with Rav Yosef Galili, Torah doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be a Yisrael. It means amongst the Jewish people. You give some pshat along those lines. Tashma. So, he has children while he was a guy, and then he converts, so that first child that comes out is a B'chol HaNachla. So Amar Ravina Vitem Ravacha Havater Rav Yosef Galili Hidamar Petar Rechem Yisrael Chiyiftu Rechem Yisrael V'yalef Iyumi Nadida. Look, that's following Rav Yosef Galili. Meaning, don't use that as a braisa to explain or to support either Rav Yochanan or Reish Lakish. In this particular case, supporting Reish Lakish. Don't do that. Because that braisa is following the position of Yosef Galili. Look, Rav Yosef Galili firmly believes that when someone converts, they're born again. They're totally new entities. Kekatan hanola dami. And so it's true by a woman regarding the halacha of petarechem, and it's true by a man regarding the halacha of reishis ono. Meaning, just like Rav Yosef Galili believes that for a woman, even though she had children before, once she converts, the first child is petarechem. It's her first child. Now, biologically, is that true? No. Halachically, is that true? Absolutely. So Rav Yosef Galili now take the same idea and move it to a man. Reishis ono, the first issue. As a convert, sure. Biologically, he may have had children already, but so what? Reishis ono, halachically, this is his first issue. So in other words, that braisa goes like Rav Yosef Galili. You now want to use that braisa to defend Reish Lakish's position. You can't. Because it's a das yachid. Amar Rav Ada Ba'ava. Okay? Adkan, that's it. That's the end of that sugya. Kind of ends awkwardly. So again, Machlok is Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Person converts. He has children after conversion. So there are two questions on the table. Number one, that first child is a B'chol HaNachla. Rav Yochanan says, no, it's not. He already had children before. Did he fulfill the mitzvah per Ravu? Rav Yochanan says, sure he did. Because he had children while he was a guy. Okay? Funny sheet as a Rambam, the children themselves have to convert. Okay. Fine. Okay, Adkan. That is the end of that sugya. We pass on like Rav Yochanan on both issues. We pass on like Rav Yochanan. Rambam also passed on like Rav Yochanan. The only thing the Rambam added to the discussion is that the children have to convert in order for him to fulfill the mitzvah. And there's no right. We don't pass like Rav Yosef Galili, right? As well, that's equally correct. Amar of Ada Bar Ava. Okay, new topic of today comes up. Halach Lamaisa, right? Go back in my family. Two generations has happened. My grandmother was a Levi. My mother is not a Levi, but my grandmother is not a Levia. Okay? And this happens all the time. Meaning, so a man and woman get married. She's a Bas Levi. Okay? And she has a child. Let's start off easy. Let's start off easier than that. She's a Bas Kohen, and she has a child. Does her child need a redemption? No. And the answer is no. No. In other words, mom is a Bas Kohen, even though from a Shevet standpoint, the child is not going to be a Kohen. His grandfather is a Kohen, but he's not going to be a Kohen. Okay, that's fine. But yeah, husband's a Yisrael, so he's going to be Yisrael. But still, in other words, the Bas Kohen's daughter does not need a redemption. Okay, what about a Bas Levi? Does a Bas Levi need a redemption? Right, Bas Levia. Right. I should say, I'm sorry. The daughter, I keep saying Bas Levi. The daughter of a Bas Levi. Right. The son. Right. So, the son of a Bas Levi. Does he need a redemption? So that's our sugya. The sugya is starting right now, and the Gemara is starting with Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, and it continues to the bottom of the Amar. Okay, Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava Levi Shialda Benapoter Mehei Salaim. Okay, so we start off with a very clear statement, and that is a statement made in the name of Rav Ada Bar Ava, which is Pater, meaning if now this Bas Levi, this we'll call her Levia. Okay, make it simple, and that's the Gemara's terminology. So this Levia who has a son is exempt from paying the Hesalayim. Okay? So shouldn't the discussion end? Shouldn't we turn the page? I'd like to, but there's more to debate on this issue. Correct. This is not the first time this comes up. But this is the main location of the debate. Meaning earlier the Gemara just referenced this machlokes, you're absolutely correct, very beginning of the Masechta. Right? And that's going to be our conclusion. Our conclusion, she's going to be exempt. Okay. So, but we start off with the sugya, which says that there's an exemption. But here's the question. The i'aver miman. Well, what's dad? What's dad? Now, ilema di'aver mikonam alevi, ma'yiri levi afil Yisrael nami. So let's rule out that dad cannot be a Kohen or a Levi. Why? Because if dad were a Kohen or a Levi, the discussion would have ended even before we found out what mom is. Meaning, the son of a Kohen and the son of a Levi do not need redemption. Redemption is only for Yisrael. Right? Out in the Midbar, right, the first time they redeemed, so it wasn't Levim who needed to be redeemed, it was the Bechor of the Yisrael, the other Shvatim. So we know that if dad is a Levi, and certainly if dad is a Kohen, we wouldn't even ask mom, what are you? In this particular regard, it wouldn't matter. Okay, so we already know that the discussion cannot be where dad is either a Kohen or a Levi. Ela de'i'aver mi'yisrawa. So the Gemara says, okay, let's move on to the next option, right? Was seemingly the only last option. If dad's not a Kohen, dad's not a Levi, so the only third option is dad's a Yisrawa. The Gemara says, but I'm confused by that. L'mishbachosam l'vesav asam ksiv. Yeah, but if dad's a Yisrawel, what does that make the child? A Yisrael. So, and that child doesn't need redemption? Amar Papa di'i'aber me'oved kochavim. Now, Rav Papa says, so you know what the case must be? Case must be where dad was a non-Jew. Okay, now, this is where it's going to get interesting. So dad's a non-Jew, so first of all, she didn't do well in terms of her marriage, right? We call that here in America intermarriage. Okay, the common issue, unfortunately, that happens in this country. So, fine. But now, just take away all the bigger issues, and let's just focus on the halacha of pidyon haben. So, in other words, dad's issue over here, regarded or not regarded, dad's a Kohen. Dad's a Kohen. Dad's a non-Jew. He doesn't give any type of shevet status to the child. So what's the child left with? Only one status, and that's mom's status, and mom's a Levia. Okay. Now,
Is that what the child becomes?
Dad, now, this touches on a very, very bigger, a larger issue. If dad's a non-Jew, so what is he considered in terms of his halachic lineage to the child? Meaning, is he a zero, or is he a negative?
Zero.
Right? I know I'm giving mathematical terminology over here, but you understand? Meaning, dad's a non-Jew. Is that just simply disregarded, halachically? Biologically, obviously, he's necessary. Genetically, obviously, he's necessary. But halachically, is dad considered a zero, or is dad considered a negative vis-a-vis the halachic status, vis-a-vis the yichud status of the child? Gemara in Yavamos, major debate. So the Gemara now wants to know, is that debate over there going to impact our thinking over here? Look, if you go with the position in Yavamos that the child, that the dad does, the dad's input is zero, so then it's a no-brainer. Meaning, of course the child doesn't need pidgin aben. Because look, mom's a levia, dad is halachically a zero, so that means that this child is the son of a levi. Right?
But the thing is, even if dad was Israel, the son still doesn't need any redemption.
You're ahead. You're ahead of us right now. No, and I don't mean to cut you off so abruptly, but that's you're forward thinking right now. We're not that forward yet. Right now we're just assuming that dad is a non-Jew. So if we go with the position that dad's input is simply nothing halachically, right? The Gemara's terminology ain muzhamim eshavlad. Rashi explains the words muzhamim zehum. He puts some sort of psul. He taints the child. So if that's the way you want to understand it, perfect. Meaning, I totally get it. But ela afilu lamanda amr mazimim esavlad, even if you go with the position in Yavamos that the child is muzham, the child is tainted. You want to take a look at Rashi with me. Ela afilu lamanda amr muzhamim, Rashi, dishadinan le basar ove kochavim, that this child now is not just the child of a Jewish mother, but the child of a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father. Meaning, afilu hachi pater de levi pasal mikre, hov islei shma de levi pater. Look, this child will have a tainted lineage. Now, tainted, what is that? What exactly does that mean, tainted? It's not Rashi over here. According to this opinion, the child is a mamzer. So if you go with that position over there, you could still understand our halacha over here, which is, look, the child is tainted / mamzer, but you know what else he is? He's a levi, son of a levi. So you can still understand that exemption from the Chamesh Lain. Okay. Which in life, by the way, is going to be one of his... Correct. And now, that's exactly the point the Gemara is making. If he's not a mamzer, I totally understand this halacha. But even if he is a mamzer, I could still explain this halacha that he's a... Well, the Gemara's terminology is Levi Pasal Mikre. He's a Levi. He's a disqualified Levi, but he's a Levi nevertheless. Okay. Good. I mean, not good, but that's one approach. But then we go to the next approach, which now, Ben, now we're up to you. No, you know what? No. Dad is a Yisrael. Meaning, mom is a Levia, dad's a Yisrael, and still we're going to now explain this halacha of Rav Ada Ba'ava, that the child is exempt. He's not a Bechor LeKohen. V'shani ha'asim da'amakra, petarechem. V'petarechem tala rechmanam. And you know what? Why is the child exempt? Because the whole halacha, the entire halacha of firstborn that goes to the Kohen is all dependent on the mother. The Torah says, Petarechem. Now we take a look at mom. What's mom? She's a Levia. So if everything is contingent on the mother, it's true that the child, is, in terms of Shevet, is going to follow the father. It's true that this child is not a Levi. But it's also true that mom is a Levi. She's a Levia. So, and the Torah says, Petarechem, and mom is someone who herself would have been exempt. I know she's a woman, so it's kind of a funny statement to make. But still, mom is someone who's exempt, so therefore the child is going to be exempt as well. This is Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Ada Ba'ava. So what we have in the Gemara now are two basic approaches to Rav Ada Ba'ava. The son of a Leviah is exempt from five salayim. According to Rav Papa, that's only talking about a case where dad's a non-Jew. According to Mar Berei de Rav Yosef, that's even talking about a case where dad's a Jew, a Yisrael. And why? How do you understand it? Petarechem. Tanan the Gemara continues. We're going to get to a halachic ruling in just a moment. who do we follow? Ben's right. We're going to end up following like the second position. But we'll get to that in just a second. Tanan, Misha Ilo Banim Banasa Isha Shalo Yalda, Nizgaira Me'uberes, Nishtachra Me'uberes, V'yalda. He, the Kohenis, he, the Levia, he, the Isha Shekvar Yalda, the Chemishalo Hashasa, Achre Bala Gimel Chadash, and Venises V'yalda, the Ingeduin, Ben Tesserishan, and Ben Zan La'achron, Bechola Kohen, Ve'in Bechola Nachla. Okay? We just went over the whole last segment of the Mishnah from yesterday's Daf. And the part that I want you to focus in on is the he ve kohenes he ve levia. Remember that case? That was a soap opera, that case. Right? He had two wives. They both were giving birth. One of them was a kohenes and the other one was a regular Yisroel. Or he had two wives. One was the levia and the other one was Yisroel. And the babies got mixed up. And now the question becomes, what's the story with Bechor LeKohen? And the Mishnah says, Bechor LeKohen Beinu Bechor LeNachla. Look, one of them requires a redemption. So therefore, he has to give the five salam to the Kohen. Good. Now, let's pause for just a moment. Let's think about this for just a moment. One of those women that he married was a Levia, and the other one was Yisroel. Who's he? Who's the husband? What status does the husband have? Mechlal de kahuna v'levia patur diyave miman. That's Gemara's very next question. Who's that? Ilem diyave mikon v'levi. So again, you should know the drill by now. If dad's a kohen and levi, achi ma'iria kohen v'levia. Feel by sisol nami. Dad's not a kohen or a levi because if dad were a kohen or a levi, we wouldn't have a discussion. You already know there'd be an exemption from the five salaim. Ela diyave miovik kochavim. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's go on to your next possibility. Well, maybe dad's a non-Jew. Now what? Dad's a non-Jew. Kohenes Petura. So now, think about it from this standpoint. It's such great detective work of the Gemara. Dad's a non-Jew, right? If dad is a non-Jew, that means that his two wives, the case of the Mishnah, is either the case of where one wife is a Levi and the other one's a Yisraelis. Or what's the other case of the Mishnah? One of them is a Kohenis, and the other one is the Yisraelis. Mm. This is going to be interesting, and this is going to paint us into a corner. One of those wives is a Kohenis. Wait a second. If a Kohenis is having relations, if she's quote-unquote marrying a non-Jew, it's not a halachic marriage, so let's call it relations. If a Kohenis is having relations with a non-Jew, you know what that makes her? It makes her a halala. Do you know what it makes the children? Not Kohanim. Right? They're Chalalim. They're not Kohanim. So, Kohanis Petur, V'amarav Papa Badiklan. V'amarav Papa Badiklan. I'm sorry, Badiklan Rabba. So, the Rav Papa says, you know, we were tested once by Rava. He wanted to see how smart we were. Kohanis Shinisavra Me'ovikochav and Ma'u. What is the story with a Kohanis who was impregnated by a non-Jew? The Amin Alei Lav Hainu Deravada Ba'ava Damer Levi Shialda Bina Pater Mecham Mishalayim. So he says, well, I think the child is exempt from the five salaim. Ba'amar Li, and he says to me, Achi Hashem Bishlam Levi Abikdusha Sakaima. Wait a second, take it easy. Slow down over there. When it comes to Levi, and she was impregnated by a non-Jew, so she doesn't lose her Kedusha. Her Kedusha is still intact. She still has her kedusha of being a levia. She's still entitled to eat meiser. Ela kohenes kevan de'ibail la havya zara. But a kohenes who has relations with a non-Jew, it makes her, it profanes her. Hanich lamar bere derav Yosef mishmei derav adamar di'avir mi'yisrael mukalab di'avir mi'yisrael. So you know what? This whole scenario would work out wonderfully if we follow like Marbury de Ravina, where that means that who can we insert as a husband? We can insert a Yisroel into this case. El Rav Papa, but my Mukila, but according to Rav Papa, what are we going to do? Meaning we can't put a Yisroel in the role of the husband, in the role of the father, because according to Rav Papa, if the husband's a Yisrael and the wife is a Levia, the son is obligated to be redeemed. So that means both children need to be redeemed. So he's not going to fit over there in that role. And then what? And then the non-Jew, That would be great in the case of one wife is a regular Yisrael and the other one's a Leviah. They're both not going to be affected or profaned by the non-Jews, fathering of the children. But if you take that case and you try to plug it into where one wife is a Yisraelis and the other one's a Kohenes, that's not going to work out because both children are going to be needed to be redeemed. Even the son of a Kohenes. Why? Once she has relations with a non-Jew, she now becomes a Chalala. She becomes profane. Her children are not Kohanim. Period. End of that story.
Based on this, would you reverse and say that if a male Kohen married a woman that he wasn't supposed to and was a Chalala, he should also be doing a Ben for his...
That's coming up. Perfect. Perfect.
Kohanis completely loses her status.
Totally. Totally. So the Gemara is Vahabai Sisol, Vahamai Kari... I'm sorry. So Elora Papa Mamai Mukila. So the Gemara, right? According to Rav Papa, I know this is a little bit intricate, but according to Rav Papa, basically we're now in a situation where we simply don't know who to insert in the case of our Mishnah. Who's the father, right? In other words, it won't work out if he's the Yisrael. It won't work out if it's a non-Jew. So who's dad? So based on this, the Gemara now basically is saying, it sounds like the only way to properly understand our Mishnah is only if you follow the viewpoint of Mar Barei D'Rav Yosef, where then you can insert a Yisrael as a father, because the Yisrael and the Leviah will create a Petur. And that means then that he has two wives and they both give birth on the same day, so then one will be Petur and the other one will be Chayev. That works in the case of the Mishnah. But according to Rav Papa, who's the dad? It just simply wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, B'mai Mukila La'olam Di'avra Mikawein. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what we could say in the Mishnah is that dad is a Kohen. Now, remember, we immediately rejected that because we said, wait a second, if dad's a Kohen, then there's no discussion to be had. V'hi bas Yisrael, and the cases where he's a Kohen and she's a bas Yisrael, v'amai kari le Kohenes, de'benat Kohen. And we're going to call her a Kohenes because she's the mother of a Kohen. And by the way, also the wife of a Kohen. But she's the mother of a Kohen, therefore we're gonna call her Kohenes. It's a fourth pshat in the Mishnah. It's not the pasha pshat in the Mishnah. It's really not the simple pshat in the Mishnah. And the Gemara only does this in order to defend Rav Papa and Rav Papa's viewpoint. But it's really not the simple pshat in the Mishnah.
So according to the fourth pshat, a Kohen who marries two Yisraelis.
Right, I'm with you.
And the children get married. Who cares if the children get married?
Right, so then, right, what's then the...
They're all Kohanim.
Yeah, so what would...
Do the wives become Kohanis?
Well, they don't become Kohanis. They remain.
Who cares if they get mixed up?
Yeah.
It's the same husband, though.
Yeah, Avabas Kohen Deloi Iaber Mikohen. That's a good question. Ella Belevia the Iaber Mi Ove Kohanim. Okay. I'm stuck. All right, we'll go on. I'll have to think more about it. We'll come back. Okay. We turn now to a new sugya, and Ben already introduced this sugya to us. By the way, sorry. Stuart asked me a good question. The halacha is like Mar Barei D'Rav Yosef. Okay? The halacha is like Mar Barei D'Rav Yosef, which is the accepted halacha, meaning I think we all know this, that if mom is a Leviah, even if dad is just a Yisrael, which is not a bad thing, I think most of us in this room are, but if mom is a Leviah, she's the daughter of a Levi, so that means that her child now is exempt from Pidgin HaBen. Her child does not get into Pidgin HaBen. She marries a guy, so her child also is not going to require a Pidgin HaBen as well. Okay, but in the halacha of Bechor Lekohen, it goes by her. Okay, now we get to a unbelievably bizarre scenario. Listen to this. This is just the setup of this case is outstanding. Okay, when I say outstanding, by the way, I'm not condoning. In fact, strong condemnation, as you'll see in just a moment. But just the circumstances in which the conclusion we're going to arrive at is just it's interesting. Kohen shemeiz v'hiniach ben chala. Okay? Let's deal with the following scenario. a Kohen dies and he leaves for himself a Ben Chalal. Okay, Kohen did wrong. Meaning, let's go over the storyline. He married a Grusha. We'll keep the case nice and simple. Okay, he married a divorcee. Cohen's not allowed to marry a divorcee, and yet he finds himself marrying a divorcee. It was his choice, and obviously, you know, we all are responsible for our choices. So, okay. And then the child that comes out, what's the story with that child? The child is a chalal. No kedushas kahuna. Okay? And so that means now, listen to this. That means now the child needs a pidyon. He needs to be redeemed. Child is, although the son of a Kohen, not a Kohen. So dad needs to redeem his son. Now, follow me please. Dad, I know this is not going to sound fair, but don't ask. I know.
Yeah, because the mother is a Kohen, the child may not be a Kohen either, and you're just, the mother.
I'm with you. Just stay with me. Right? So, and I know this is not going to sound equitable, but this is just simply the halacha, and you know, I tell my children often, life isn't fair. It's good to get it's good to get used to that. And look, you know, our limited understanding of halacha is limited, meaning, you know, obviously there's an infinite level of thinking involved in producing the halacha, and our understanding of it is extraordinarily limited. But dad, the father who's a Kohen, even though he marries a Grusha, and even though now the child is a Chalal, he is unaffected, meaning he's still a Kohen, and he has still Kedushas Kahuna. So here's what he can do now. You following me? He'll go into his right pocket, take out the 5 salayim, says, look, I need to redeem my son. Okay, I need to find a Kohen. What do you know? Looks in the mirror. I found the Kohen. And so now he takes the money and puts it back into his left pocket, and it would work. Now, again, you want to talk about the morals and the ethics involved over here, and you know, all this is a result of the fact that he married a Grusha. I understand. It should be, the whole scenario should be a little bit distressing. Meaning, I'm not trying to, this is not right, but it works. Okay? So, Kohen Shemeis V'nich Ben Chalal. But now over here, now that you got that part, okay, now we move on to the next part, which is, what if he dies? Okay? Meaning, so now, the Kohen leaves himself in a position where he needed to redeem his firstborn son. He had the ability to redeem his firstborn son simply by giving himself the money. And then he dies. And so another Kohen now knocks on the door and says, look, I'm really sorry about it. But you need to be redeemed. And I just want you to know I'm available. Okay. So now. So does this child actually need to pay 5 salaim in order to redeem himself? Now, can I remind everyone, there's a Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin says that the primary responsibility of Pidyon HaBen is on the father. Okay? But if he, for whatever reason, did not do it, so then a son has an ability, a responsibility to redeem himself. Okay? Unlike by a bris milah, by the way, you know, there's one thing in between a father and the child.
Mother.
Interestingly enough, no.
I
know you're right, but I'm just sharing with you the Gemara Kedushin. Right? The correct answer is? Beis Din. Right? It's first dad, if he's not available, then Beis Din, and then Beis Din doesn't do it, so then the child has an obligation to do a bris on himself. When it comes to Pidyon HaBen, it's first dad, and if he doesn't do it, then it's the son. Okay? That's the Gemara Kedushin.
You just go to a coin and say, do you want me as a son? Right? If he doesn't want to pay.
Well, I don't know if that works, although I enjoy the idea, but I don't think that's going to work. So, all right. Rav Chisda Amar, HaBen Chayel of Dosis Atzmo, and Rav Bar Rav Huna Amar, Ein Chayel of Dosis Atzmo. So there's a Machlokis Amarayim, whether or not he has an obligation to redeem himself or not. Now, before we comment, so the Gemara is going to first qualify. Kol Hecha Demesa Avla Acher Shloshim. Look. If dad dies after day 30, now you know that this halacha of redemption, we haven't actually spoken about this yet. Okay, we're going to speak more about this later on in the Masechta, but you know that you don't redeem your firstborn son until day 30. Okay, Pasuk in Chumash, right? Michodesh Ulamala, Ben Chodesh Ulamala, from day 30 and on, so then he needs to be redeemed. We'll talk more about it later on. But you know that the obligation doesn't actually begin until day 30. So if dad dies after day 30, Look, at that point in time, we all understand, end of discussion. Meaning because after day 30, there's an obligation to redeem. Dad doesn't actually have to go through the process of taking the five slime out of his right pocket and putting it into his left pocket. I did that for purposes of just explaining. But Dad doesn't need to actually do that, meaning the child's redeemed, basically. Because Dad had an obligation to redeem, and since he could have given the money to himself, the child is considered as if he's already now redeemed. Okay, so that's not even open for discussion or debate. The whole debate between Rav Chisda and Rava Bar Rav Huna is only when the only when Dad dies within the first 30 days. Rav Chisda Amar Ben Chayav Ledosas Asmo Dehalo Zacha Aviv LePidjono. And Rav Chisda explains simply and beautifully, look, in within the first 30 days, Dad did not redeem, nor has a chance to redeem, and so therefore now Dad died within the first 30 days of the child's life, and so child now has an obligation to redeem. What's there to talk about? Understood. And Rava Bar Rav Huna Amar Eina Ben Chayav Levdos Asmo, and Rava Bar Rav Huna says, no, why? The Amar Lei. Because what he'll do is that kohen who knocks on the door and says, hi, you should only know I'm available when you want to redeem yourself. So what will he say to him? Now, he doesn't have to say this.
The son himself is a kohen. He could redeem himself. He could redeem himself. No?
The son himself is not a kohen.
He's
not a kohen. So the chayv of dos ratzmo, the amar lei, asina mikoach gavra, de la matzis lishtu edina behadei. Look, I come from a koach. I come from a power. You couldn't have dealt with him. Meaning, I understand that you're knocking on my door and you're waiting to receive the five salaim. But fundamentally, who was that obligation upon? I understand he's dead now, but it was my father. The obligation was principally upon my father. Now, had he been here and you knocked on the door, he would have said to you, take care. Meaning, I'm a kohen. I'll take the money. So my obligation to give is no greater or is as great as my father was. Just like you could not have extracted the money from my father, you too could not have extracted the money from me. Now understood, right? I hope I'm explaining this well. Understood, I'm not the same as my father, meaning my father's a Cohen and I'm not. I understand that. But the point is that when someone comes to collect, his ability to collect from the derivative can be no greater or no more powerful than his ability to collect from the source. The source of the collection comes from the father. Dad would have said, take care. So his ability to collect from me, I'm just a derivative of the father. So his ability to collect from me is just equally as strong, or in this case, as weak. I say to him, take care. Good. Right? So hopefully I've explained both positions, Rav Chisda's position and Rav Bar Rav Huna's position. Tanan, we go to a Mishnah. Iskaira me'uberes b'chor l'kohen. If she converts while pregnant, so it's a b'chor l'kohen. The amai lema leya asina mikolach gavra de la masas lish to edina b'hadei. So the Gemara says, so in that case of the Mishnah, why doesn't the child just simply say, wait a second, right? In other words, I come from a koach that you couldn't have dealt with. So the Gemara's answer is very simple. Shani ovikocham galeis lecheis. No, because there simply is no connection between him and his father. His father's a non-Jew. He can't say to the guy, I'm sorry, he can't say to the Kohen, I come from a Koach, because there we don't look at him, as a derivative from his father. His father's not a Jew. I'm Rabbi Shimon Yosina, I'm Rabbi Shimon Malakish Kohen, she meis b'tzoch shoshniyom, v'niach ben chalal, ha ben chayv lefdos asmo, shalo zachav, b'pidjono. Meis l'achr shoshniyom, ena ben chayv lefdos asmo, shari zachav, b'pidjono. The Gemara comes out with a very clear ruling, and the ruling goes like Rav Chisda. Where? If dad dies after day 30, so then the son doesn't have an obligation to redeem. Why? Because after day 30, we essentially view the dad as having already redeemed his son. He simply takes the money out of one pocket, he puts it into another pocket. In other words, the dad redeems his son. Right. It's a good question. I'm not sure. Meaning, does he have to go through the procedure, or do we just simply...
Think about it.
Right, it's a fair question. I'm not sure.
So
but
how do you deal with the mother? Is it
Bat Kohen? If mom is a Bas Kohen...
No, but...
He doesn't have to. Meaning, if mom's a Bas Kohen, he's exempt immediately.
Right.
This case becomes confusing and debatable because dad's a Kohen, mom now, right? Mom is a Grusha, which now means that she's a Chalala, right? This is the case we're talking about. The child now is a Chalala, so that means that he lost his Kohen status. Child does not have Kohen status. It's a bizarre scenario, and the conclusion is strange, but in other words, when you go through all the legal system, it makes sense. It's logical. It's a bizarre conclusion, but it's logical. And if dad dies before day 30, so because dad didn't redeem the child, so and dad couldn't redeem the child before day 30, so therefore the child has an obligation now to redeem himself. No, it doesn't affect his Yerusha, meaning he's a Yisrael. As a Chalal, you're basically now you're Yisrael. Okay? You're not going to get the first Aliyah, you're not going to be able to Duchin, you're not going to be able to do the Avoda. In terms of, yeah, I assume so. He's not a Mamzer, he's a Chalal. But you're right, though. No, you're right, though. In other words, his Yichus is tainted. It's correct. Yeah. Mishnah Kedushin, fourth Perek. I think so. Right?
Well, if it's all
okay. Fourth perek of Kiddushin. That much I can remember. It's like the first Mishnah. Asar Yuchsin. It goes through the lineages. No, I don't think so. Okay, but if you really force me, I'll go over the fourth perek of Kiddushin. It's right over there. Let's finish up. B'chol anachla. Sorry, let me just read the heading. V'chein mishalo shas achrei bala gimel chadashim v'chulei. Bechor lenachala, okay. Bechor lenachala udalohave kapasha shakal v'amai leitzel legabe v'hai v'litchei legabe hai v'litchei. Remember the case in the Mishnah over here. It's the right. The case was another soap opera. A number of soap operas today. She got a divorce from her first husband. She's supposed to wait 3 months before she remarries again in order to establish paternity. She didn't wait 3 months. She got remarried after 2 months, and then seven months later she has a baby. And we don't know, right, before the help of DNA testing, we don't know who dad is. Dad could have either have been her previous husband or dad could now be the current husband. We simply do not know. And what the Mishnah tells us is he's not a Bechor Lanachla, meaning he's not going to get the Pishtaim because the brothers look at him and say to him, we don't know if you're the oldest. You may not even be our brother. You may be our half brother. You may not be, but you may not be from the same father. Okay, and the Gemara is going to ask now a really simple question. I told you this question was coming up yesterday when we did the Mishnah, and that is the brother's argument to him could be even stronger, meaning you're not going to get Bechor. I'll tell you what, I got more news for you. You're not getting anything in the Yerusha because Yerusha is coming from dad, and you don't know if he's dad. You simply don't know. So why doesn't the Mishnah make the larger point, which is not whether or not he's going to get Bechor, but whether or not he's getting Yerusha at all? So Bechor Nachlu Delohavi Kapash. I'm sorry. Va'amai Lezel Lagabe Hai Velitche V'Lagabe Hai LeVelitche. And not only that, but basically he's a pinball, meaning he'll go to the other family and say, okay, look, guys. They're not accepting me over there as part of the Yerusha. Okay, so I'm with you. So they'll look at him and they'll say, wait a second. Remember, our father may not be your father as well. You may belong to that second husband. So you don't share the Yerusha with us. And so I know it sounds strange, but again, it makes sense. Each estate can contend that you're not part of our estate and you're not getting divided. So I'm Rav Yirmiyahu Nitzchel L'Ba'acharav. So the Gemara says, you're right. You know what the Mishnah is talking about? Not him, because he really could be pushed from both sides. We're talking about the child after him. It's the next child, which is not a Bechor Lenachala. Now you understand, because this child himself for sure can be pushed away. Totally. The next child, who we know who the father is. Father is the second guy. The only question is he a firstborn or not a firstborn?
The question hangs over the second one also, whether he's a Bechor or not.
Exactly. So, v'lichtivu harshala hadadeh. So the Gemara now wants to know, if these two are smart, right? So let them write a harsha to one another. Power of attorney. Brilliant. Meaning what the Gemara now is suggesting is that we'll call him the second father. He may or may not be that father of the first child coming out.
The second one,
but the second one for sure he's the father of.
One of them is for sure.
One of them for sure is a Bechor.
Oh, right.
Okay? So let them, if they're smart, let them write power of attorney to one another. And the power of attorney will basically say, look, if I'm the Bechor, so then I'm giving everything I own to you. And the other one writes, if I'm the Bechor, I give all the additional estate as the Bechor to you. And then what they'll do later on is they'll take it and they'll split it. Why don't they write power of attorney to one another? So, and the Gemara says, and maybe you'll suggest that our Mishnah is not dealing with Harsha. But you'll see later on, we're going to learn a Mishnah tomorrow's daf. Or maybe Tuesday. I like to say tomorrow. But we're going to see a Mishnah later on where clearly the Mishnah is dealing with the case of Harsha. So it's not like the Mishnah doesn't know about this concept of Harsha, power of attorney. So the Gemara says, maybe now, this will be supportive of Rav Yanai. The Amr Rav Yanai, Hukru L'Sof Nit Arvu, Kotsvin Harsha Zelazah. Lahukru V'Sof Nit Arvu, Ein Kotsvin Harsha Zelazah. When can you write power of attorney one to another? Only when, at the beginning, each child was identifiable. In other words, we knew to begin with whose child was whom. But here in this particular scenario, from the inception, from when this child is born, we simply do not know. Is this child belong to this father? Does this child belong to that father? In that case over there, you can't write power of attorney. Why should that be? What's the difference? So tomorrow morning, we'll start off with giving some sort of explanation, some sort of rationale in terms of why should that be. Stop over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick it up.